What did you say? Ahandandadara Raja. Rakshida Vrittida Sveshu. Svetasu Stapita Puta. Aham Dandadaro Raja. Prajanam Ihaya Ujita. Rakshita Vrittida Sveshu. Svetasu Stapita Puta. Aham, I, Dandadhara, carrier of the scepter, Raja, king, Prajanam, of the citizens, Iha, in this world, Yojita, engaged, Rakshita, protector, Vrittida, employer, Sveshu, in their own, Setushu, respective social orders, Stapita, established, Prithak, differently. Translation purported by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. King Prithu continued, by the grace of the Supreme Lord, I have been appointed the king of this planet, and I carry the scepter to rule the citizens, protect them from all danger, and give them employment according to their respective positions in the social order established by Vedic injunction. Purport. A king is supposed to be appointed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to look after the interests of his particular planet. On every planet, there is a predominating person, just as we now see that in every country, there is a president. If one is president or king, it should be understood that this opportunity has been given to him by the Supreme Lord. According to the Vedic system, the king is considered a representative of Godhead and is offered respects by the citizens as God in the human form of life. Actually, according to Vedic information, the Supreme Lord maintains all living entities and especially human beings to elevate them to the highest perfection. After many, many births in lower species, when a living entity evolves to the human form of life, and in particular to the civilized human form of life, his society must be divided into four gradations as ordered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead in Bhagavad Gita, Chaturvarnyam, Maya, Shishtam, etc. The four social orders, the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas and Shudras, are natural divisions of human society. And as declared by Prithu Maharaj, every man in his respective social order must have proper employment for his livelihood. It is the duty of the king or the government to ensure that the people observe the social order and that they are also employed in their respective occupational duties. In modern times, since the protection of the government or the king has been withdrawn, social order has practically collapsed. No one knows who is a Brahmana, who is a Kshatriya, who is a Vaishya, and who is a Shudra. And people claim to belong to a particular social order by birthright only. It is the duty of the government to re-establish social order in terms of occupational duties and the modes of material nature, for that will make the entire population actually civilized. If it does not observe the institutional functions of the four social orders, human society is no better than animal society, in which there is never tranquility, peace and prosperity, but only chaos and confusion. Maharaj Prithu, as an ideal king, strictly observed the maintenance of the Vedic social order. Prajayate iti praja. The word praja refers to one who takes birth. Therefore, Prithu Maharaj guaranteed protection for prajanam, all living entities who took birth in his kingdom. Praja refers not only to human beings, but also to animals, trees and every other living entity. It is the duty of the king to give all living entities protection and food. The fools and rascals of modern society have no knowledge of the extent of the responsibility of the government. Animals are also citizens of the land in which they happen to be born, and they also have the right to continue their existence at the cost of the Supreme Lord. The disturbance of the animal population, a wholesale slaughter, produces a catastrophic future reaction for the butcher, his land and his government. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta Purport. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilita Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam. Mandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunathanvitam Tamsajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagara Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Jayapataka Swaminiti Namine. Namacharya Padaya Ritai Kripa Pradayine Gaurakata Damodaya Nagara Gramatharine. Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Gopi Paranandana Dase Iti Namine. Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Adishtarine. Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Bukamkaro Divachalam Pangum Langayate Giram Yatkripatamaham Vande Shri Guru Dintayanam Yatkripatamaham Vande Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanya Vishwaram Katanchana Smrite Yasmin Dushkaram Sukaram Bhave Vismrite Vipritam Syat Shri Chaitanyam Namami. Maharaj Prithu said, I think that upon the execution of my duties as king, I shall be able to achieve the desirable objectives described by experts in Vedic knowledge. This destination is certainly achieved by the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This destination certainly achieved by the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the seer of all destiny. Text 22. King Prithu continued, by the grace of the Supreme Lord, I have been appointed the king of this planet, and I carry the scepter to rule the citizens, protect them from all danger, and give them employment according to their respective positions in the social order established by Vedic injunction. So here, from this purport, we can see how a person who is fixed in Krishna consciousness sees the material world as the perfect arrangement of Krishna's kindness. Because usually, from our experience, we know that if we rebel against somebody, then usually we are neglected or abandoned by that person. whom we rebel against. But however, we can see Krishna's kindness in the fact that He has created this entire material world for us, even though we have rebelled against Him, and He has provided all the necessities of life for us in this material world. So Prabhupada, in his purport to the first verse of Isopanishad, Om Purnamadam Purnamadam, Prabhupada explains that how this material world is a complete arrangement coming out of the complete person Krishna. So Krishna has provided us with all necessities of life in this material world. Not only that, He is also, in terms of necessities, okay, you need air, water and all the different necessities, but also social order. Krishna has also provided us with a social order. Chaturvarna maya shishtam. So we can lead our lives peacefully. So everything that we can conceive of, Krishna has actually provided us. This is how kind Krishna is. And Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita that He is Surdam Sarvabhutanam. That means He is the best well-wishing friend of all living entities. Now, today is the 14th of October 2011. Exactly 43 years ago, on the 14th of October 1968, in Seattle, Prabhupada gave a lecture on the Bhagavad Gita, and there He explains this word Suhrit. So Prabhupada explains that the Sanskrit is a perfect language, and in Sanskrit there are three different words that are used to refer to a friend: Mitra, Bandhu and Suhrit. Mitra means social friend, Bandhu means official friend, and Suhrit means well-wishing friend who has your best interest at heart. And Prabhupada gives the example, just like a mother has always the best interest of the child in her heart. So Prabhupada explains, Krishna is like mother, well-wishing friend. Then He also gives the example of a devoted wife. And a devoted wife has always the best interests of her husband at heart. So similarly, Krishna, being the well-wisher of not only the human beings, He is the well-wisher of all living entities. So He has our best interests at heart. And Prabhupada goes on to explain that Krishna is so kind that He actually has no business, because the Svetasvaratara Upanishad mentions that the living entity and Krishna, as a super soul, are like two birds sitting on a tree. One bird is eating the fruits of the tree, which are distress and happiness. The other bird is just witnessing the activities of this bird, which is eating the fruits of distress and happiness. This bird which is eating is the living entity, and the bird which is witnessing is Krishna. Now Krishna is so kind, Prabhupada explains that the living entity is unnecessarily going through one body of the other. Prabhupada uses the word unnecessarily. Yet Krishna is so kind that He does not abandon the living entity. In every form of life that the living entity takes, Krishna accompanies the jiva. He is so kind. And not only accompanying as a super soul, but Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that if we look at the Dashavatara sequence, invertebrates to vertebrates, into Matsya, Kurma, so Krishna actually incarnates in all the different species of life, the primary categories, to give association to the jivas who are in those miserable condition, who are in that miserable condition of existence. So Krishna not only comes, accompanies the jiva as the super soul, but Krishna actually incarnates also and amongst these different species to give them association. So that is the kindness of Krishna. And Prabhupada explains that Krishna is so kind that he's just waiting for us. When will we turn to him? And the moment we turn to him, then although he has made so many arrangements, Prabhupada explains, just like a president or others, he, of course, let's say an ideal king. Prabhupada says, ideal king means who has the welfare of all his citizens in mind. But nevertheless, Prabhupada explains that although the king has the welfare of all his citizens in mind, nevertheless, but towards his family members, he's a little bit more affectionate. So that is not a contradiction of his impartiality. Prabhupada says that is natural. Similarly, Krishna is Suhridam Sarvabhutanam, not just of the human beings, but of all the living entities. But when we turn towards him, he becomes especially more inclined towards us. And we see quite often this discussion comes up that there are the different incarnations of the Lord. But they're all actually identical. The example given is just like the moon. We see different phases of the moon, and finally we see, especially when the moon is waxing, we see different phases of the expanding moon, and finally we come to the full moon. At all stages of the expansion, it is only what we see, but actually the moon is there. We only see a certain manifestation of the moon. Similarly, all the incarnations of the Lord are identical. They're fully identical. But they only manifest a certain feature of God. But Krishna is like the full moon. He manifests the full feature of Krishna. He manifests the full feature of God. Now, when it comes to kindness, it is said that Krishna, Prabhupada explains, Krishna demands you first surrender unto me. But Lord Chaitanya, he does not even demand that. Krishna says, you first surrender unto me and then I'll take care of you. But Lord Chaitanya, he does not even demand you first surrender unto me. In fact, Lord Chaitanya runs behind all the living entities. Please take to this Krishna consciousness movement. So, Lord Chaitanya is the full manifestation of Krishna's kindness. And we in this age are especially fortunate that we have the full manifestation of Krishna's kindness as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, we have to simply take to this process of Krishna consciousness. Now, in this particular purport, Prabhupada mentions how these four orders are arranged by the Supreme Lord, Chaturvarna Maya Shrishtam, so that the society can function smoothly. So, when the Krishna consciousness movement is established by Prabhupada, we see that in the initial days of the Krishna consciousness movement, Prabhupada said several different lectures. Prabhupada says, oh, Varnashram, it's not so practical in this age. Simply depend on the holy names. And gradually, chronologically, if you see, over time, you begin to see that Prabhupada is slowly trying to speak about Varnashram. Especially, he says that my disciples are falling down. So let them follow this Varnashram system so they can be stable. And so we have to understand carefully what is the position of Varnashram Dharma in relation to Krishna consciousness. It's just like, although it is the middle of October, it's still hot in Mayapur. Usually it's a bit cold by this time, but it's still hot. It's quite hot during the day. So during summer, it's usually blistering hot. And imagine that you didn't have any fan. And it's hot, it's stuffy, and you have to chant. You can chant. There is no impediment to chant. Nevertheless, it is difficult. It can be distracting. So, if the external atmosphere was a little bit more conducive, then it's easier for us to chant. So similarly, the Varnashram system is a system which creates a peaceful atmosphere so that you can prosecute Krishna consciousness very nicely. So That is what we see, that initially Prabhupada said, just depend on Krishna consciousness, just depend on the holy name and everything will be alright. But when he saw that devotees were struggling, then he said, alright, we need to have Varnashram, because that creates a peaceful atmosphere in which you can prosecute Krishna consciousness very nicely. In this purport, Prabhupada writes that in modern civilization, there is never tranquility, peace and prosperity, but only chaos and confusion. Imagine that 24 hours of the day, 365 days, continuously there is chaos and chaos and chaos and chaos. And we have to practice Krishna consciousness very intensely. Definitely it's difficult. Of course, those who are advanced in Krishna consciousness can do it under any circumstances. But in general, general mass of people cannot do it. So therefore, out of his kindness, Prabhupada said, let us establish the Varnashram system so that devotees can practice Krishna consciousness very nicely. So remember that Varnashram system, this whole social, the whole plan of Prabhupada was simply to make it convenient. So we have to remember that the primary goal is that we have to advance in our Krishna consciousness. In his conversation with Ramananda Roy, we see that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected the process of Varnashram Dharma as the means for spiritual advancement. Rather, he said, when Ramananda Roy said that Shane Sita Shutikatam Tanuvan Manobir, whatever position one may be in, one has to simply take to the hearing of Krishna Katha, hearing of Krishna's names. And this, by this process, one can attain perfection. So we should keep that as our focus, that we are interested in increasing our Krishna consciousness, and anything that helps us to do that, we are willing to accept. Whether it's Varnashram Dharma, whatever else, utility is the principle, Yukta Vairagya, whatever helps us to become Krishna consciousness, become Krishna conscious, that we are willing to accept. And there, Prabhupada, in the introduction to the Srimad Bhagavatam, he explained, Lord Chaitanya said, the hearing is the most important process of Krishna consciousness in this age. So in the beginning, in the introduction to Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada summarizes right in the beginning, he says, what is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy? Aradhyo Bhagavan Rajesha Tanayas, which means, of course he doesn't use a Sanskrit, but he just paraphrases that in English. He said, we accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And what is our mode of worship? Ramya Kajit Ashesha Vrajavadu. In the footsteps of the gopis of Vrindavan, we're trying to serve Krishna unconditionally. And what is our scripture? Srimad Bhagavatam Purana Mamalam. So this is our scripture. And what is the goal? Prema Pumarto Mahan. To develop love for Krishna. So, a few days ago, I think Rajendranandan Prabhu made this point that once when Prabhupada has asked so many different activities we do in Krishna consciousness, and everybody thinks that, of course, Prabhupada gave a lot of importance, a lot of stress to book distribution, but higher than that, I mean, in fact, I wouldn't say higher than that, but the whole point is, as Rajendranandan Prabhu brought out, Prabhupada clearly said, I'll be happy if you develop love for Krishna. So that is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy, Prema Pumarto Mahan, that we have to develop our love for Krishna. That we shouldn't lose focus of. That we should lose focus. That's why if you see that in the Varnashrama conversation, several times, repeatedly, when Prabhupada wants to make a point, he stresses it repeatedly. So repeatedly he says, that does not mean a devotee, a Shudra devotee, a Brahmana devotee, Vaishya devotee, if we establish Varnashrama Dharma, it doesn't mean like that. He says they're all equal, they're all devotees. But simply for the sake of organization, we're doing these things. So the point is that whoever is advanced in Krishna consciousness, that person we have to follow. Kibe vipra, kibe nasi. Whoever, whether it is a sannyasi, whether it is a brahmana, whether it is a kshatriya, whether it is a grahastha, we have to see how advanced that person is in Krishna consciousness. And follow that person. As yesterday in Rajendranandan Prabhu mentioned in this class, very nicely brought up this point that our whole process is we have to follow the great devotees. And when we follow the great devotees, we have life. Otherwise, we're just doing something. It's more like we're just going on, distracted, mental, intellectual. But when we follow a great devotee, when we follow the great devotees, there's actually life. Because these devotees are in touch with the Supreme Lord. And by following them, we also develop that life. And you can see that those who actually follow, there is life in them. There is utsaha, as Rupa Goswami mentioned, utsaha, all the six symptoms which are favorable for advancement, utsaha, dhairya, all these you can see, that enthusiasm, confidence, patience, all these things are manifest in people who actually follow the great devotees. So this is our process, that we are interested in following the Mahajanas, and we are interested in following those who follow the Mahajanas. And following means actually following, not that we think we are following. We actually go to these advanced devotees and ask us, what should I do? Is this pleasing to Krishna? And we should always be under the shelter of the great devotees. This is our only safeguard in this age of chaos and confusion. As Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami writes, he's a Kaviraj, he's a great poet. So when he writes, there is a lot of meaning in what he writes. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was very old when he wrote the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and he couldn't see clearly, and he was lame. I mean, not lame, he couldn't walk properly. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami writes that I'm blind and my feet are slipping at every step. Then he says, may the saints help me by granting me the stick of their mercy as my support. May the saints help me by granting me the stick of their mercy as my support. So this is Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. What is Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's level? He's one of the most advanced devotees who wrote about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And what is his instruction? That we have to always depend on the mercy of the devotees. And this is the process by which we can advance steadily in Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada explains that this whole concept of Varnashram Dharma is that, of course, even though it is a temporary concept, but nevertheless, he says that just like in Varnashram Dharma, the point was that people would work only for 3 months and 9 months would be free. So 9 months free to practice Krishna consciousness. So that is the key point. That is not just, oh, very nice social order, very nice everything, so we can have a very nice material life, and we can try to make the material world a happy place. We can have a very, very happy life. No, the point is how to maximize our Krishna consciousness. Not to have a very happy and peaceful life. That's a byproduct. We're not even interested in that. In fact, even if you try everything very nicely, sometimes things don't work well, even though you may do everything well. So, that's the point is we have to be fixed in Krishna consciousness. So that is the teaching that has been given to us by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all the previous acharyas. And Varnashram Dharma ultimately is a temporary feature of this material world. But Sanatan Dharma, as Prabhupada explains in the introduction to Bhagavad Gita, that Sanatan Dharma is eternal. It has neither beginning nor end. So that is something which, that is our focus, that Sanatan Dharma. And we may do other things to help in this process. Whatever, just like if you have difficulty walking, use a crutch. Similarly, Varnashram Dharma is like a crutch. Okay, if we can help to advance in Krishna consciousness, we can take it. But there may be others who may not need it, who can just fully, exclusively depend on Krishna. Fine. So, whatever it is, somehow or other, one has to come to the stage of Krishna Prema, pure Krishna consciousness. And one should not give up that goal. It's not that, okay, I've been practicing for so many years, still there are so many difficulties, so many anarthas. Okay, somehow at the time of death, let me just think of Krishna and go back to Godhead. So that is like, I mean, that is missing the point. Of course, we have to think of Krishna at the time of death. But let us think of Krishna by attaining pure love of God, because that pleases Prabhupada. Not in the sense of defeat, okay, it's so difficult, somehow or other my only hope is at the time of death, let me just think of Krishna. No. We shouldn't give up until the last moment. We should think, Prabhupada wants us. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy, that we should develop pure love for Krishna. So we should always keep that in mind, that we have to come to the stage of developing pure love for Krishna. And it's so easy. We cannot imagine anything more easier than this because of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Prabhupada is very, very fond of that song, Paramakaruna Pahudaijana Nitai Gaurachandra. And on several occasions, at least three different occasions when he was traveling in America, when he would sing this song, he would cry. Because the song says, Lord Chaitanya is so merciful, you cannot imagine somebody more merciful than Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it says that hearing about Lord Chaitanya, even the birds and beasts cry, and even the rocks melt. So this is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And there is Deko Ore Bai Tribhuvane Nai. There is nobody in the three worlds who is as merciful as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come in this Kali Yuga. We are fortunate to be in the extended pastime of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we should simply take to his prescription. And his prescription is always chant the names of Krishna, hear about Krishna in the association of devotees, especially Srimad Bhagavatam, because that is Lord Chaitanya's word, Srimad Bhagavatam Puranamamalam. And every day, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, every day we have to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. And as I was coming to class this morning, Rajendranandan Prabhu mentioned that since it's only a few weeks since Gopi Puranam Prabhu left his body, he said we should speak something about him. So on this point of Srimad Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam was the life of Gopi Purandana Prabhu. Anything that you speak to him, he would immediately say Srimad Bhagavatam. And there would never be a conversation with him. Every 3-4 lines in a conversation, he would mention the word Srimad Bhagavatam a few times. That was his life and soul, the Srimad Bhagavatam. And in fact, he told some of his students that Prabhupada gave different work to different people in the BBT. And one of the things that he instructed was, he wanted to translate Mahabharata and the Puranas. And Gopi Purandara Prabhu instructed his students, I want some of you to translate the Puranas from the vantage point of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So whatever he would speak, everything would be connected to Bhagavatam. And he's very rarely a person who would get annoyed, you know, very rare to find him annoyed. But I managed to even do that, I made him annoyed. So he was once annoyed with me, and I mean, it was a big shock for me, because I remember that I was in Govardhan, and one morning I didn't attend the Bhagavatam class. I don't think he noticed it, but after that I went and I told him, Prabhu, I didn't come to, it's not his class, it was somebody else's class, and I told him, Prabhu, I didn't come to this morning's Bhagavatam class. And he said, why? I mean, he was very, very, suddenly, I mean, very instantly asked why. And then I said that I was not so convinced about the speaker. He doesn't represent Prabhupada properly, so I didn't want to sit in that class. Then he was so upset. He said, this is disrespecting the Bhagavatam. He said, you have to attend the Bhagavatam class. Then I said, but Prabhu, what do I do? Because the speaker, I'm not convinced about the speaker. He speaks a lot of other things. And then he said, but nevertheless, Prabhupada has instituted this Bhagavatam class. We have to hear Bhagavatam every day. And then he said, if you have a problem with the speaker, what he's speaking, that is why we have question hour. Why don't you ask him some questions during the question hour? Why don't you, offer some comments during the question hour? That is what you should do. And he said, never miss a Bhagavatam class. And that was, then I understood, okay, this is very, very important, Bhagavatam class. And in fact, the point that he made was that Bhagavatam is so important, Prabhupada established this whole program of Krishna consciousness. And he said, you cannot minimize any program of Krishna consciousness by giving any reason. You have to go through that. And there may be other things, just like he said, okay, during the question answer session, you can ask something if you don't agree with the speaker. But don't change something which Prabhupada gave. So that was his point. So then I understood, okay, Bhagavatam class. Of course, not only Bhagavatam class, but every aspect of Prabhupada's program is very important. And then, since we were talking about kindness, so we see Krishna is always very, very kind. He's provided this material world for us. And then he comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifesting his full kindness. And we see that all the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all his true followers, are extremely kind. This is one of the symptoms of a real follower of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That a real follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very, very kind. We see that in the initial days of the Krishna consciousness movement, when Prabhupada was in the was in New York in 26 Second Avenue, any time of the day, people would just walk in and speak to him. And Prabhupada wouldn't say, I'm busy, meet me later. But rather, he would be happy to talk to them about Krishna consciousness. So, in this regard, I remember that when Gopi Pranam Prabhu came to Mayapur in 2008, he stayed at my house for about a month. So, one day after he arrived, I asked him, should I put a note on the main door about what time devotees could come and see you? And he said, no. And he was so concerned. He said, no. He said, let devotees come and see me whenever they want. It is my duty to serve devotees. So that was his mood, that 24 hours of the day, he was available to serve devotees. So this really struck me that, I mean, how, this is the nature of a devotee. The devotee is always very kind, is available. So what more can we expect in this age, although it is the age of confusion, it's the age of quarrel, it's the age of hypocrisy, every possible bad quality you find, you can find it in this age. Yet, the most sublime experience, Krishna consciousness, as presented by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is available to us. And the full manifestation of kindness, although it is the age of quarrel, the full manifestation of kindness is there. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has demonstrated that full kindness, and all his true followers demonstrate that kindness. So there can be nothing more simple and easy. Let's simply take to this process. And in this one very life, let us somehow or other make it our goal to attain love of God. That will make Prabhupada, all the previous acharyas, and Krishna happy. So I think I'll stop here. And if there are any questions or comments. One point that I forgot to mention was that here in the second part of the purport, Prabhupada mentions how Krishna is kind to all the living entities. He treats everybody. Prabhupada mentions how we don't discriminate just because Prabhupada gives the example of just like a father has many children. Some of them are disabled. But doesn't mean that he treats the other children more favorably than those who are disabled. Similarly, Krishna is so kind. He's suhrit for all the living entities. So therefore, we should be very conscious that when we deal with other living entities, not just human beings, but other living entities, Prabhupada is always very kind. Once when there was a cockroach on his table, he told Jayaprathak Maharaj, you take this cockroach and put him outside the door, put him outside the window, and Prabhupada said, I'm giving you the whole world to enjoy, go and enjoy. So, and then Shrutakirti Prabhu mentions how Prabhupada once made him chant Hare Krishna to an ant on his table. Shrutakirti Prabhu said, I couldn't even notice the ant, but Prabhupada first of all made me locate the ant, and he told him, just chant. Was it an ant or a bug? Something. He told him to chant Hare Krishna to that bug. So that is the kindness of a devotee. They're not only human beings, but he's concerned about every living entity. That's the second. In the second part, Prabhupada mentions about slaughterhouses and being kind. So I thought I'll just, I forgot to mention about this. Yes.
Thank you very much. Appreciate you sharing some nectar with Gopi Pranam Prabhu. If he were sitting here, I'd ask this question and he would probably answer it in a way that's appropriate for a public forum, but I'd like to ask you as a representative of his, it relates to, you were talking about Varnashram Dharma and how devotees are devotees. Not Brahman devotee or Kshatriya, you know, devotees are supposed to be pure devotees. So even just a couple of days ago, I heard somebody in their conversation say, so what are the GBC? Are they Kshatriyas or are they Brahmins? So I think your class and what you shared really gave the answer. The answer lied within the nectar you've already shared with us, but did Gopi Pranam Prabhu have any, do you mind sharing anything that you might have heard him say in that regard to duties of the GBC or helping to clarify?
I haven't heard him speak on the GBC, but I remember about Varnashram, I asked him a few times. So he mentioned that the system of Varnashram that the previous acharyas are talking about, that has to be very carefully implemented. And he said that can only be done by advanced and empowered devotees. It's not that anybody can just conceive what it is and just implement it. He said it's not an ordinary simple thing like that. Because it, he said it can be misused. So he said that this concept of Daivi Varnashram can only be implemented by pure devotees and their empowered followers. Because they understand the priorities and the importance of what is keeping Krishna in the center. But otherwise it could degrade into a mundane Varnashram. The pure devotees would keep fighting. We've seen quite a bit of that, I'm sure you must have also seen it. That, they would say Chudra devotee, Kshatriya devotee. I've seen it even to this day. So it takes the vision of a pure devotee and others who are empowered by him to actually implement this system of Daivi Varnashram. It's because of the so many distinctions and rights and privileges, and there are so many elements involved in it. And to what extent it should be implemented, and it's a very big question. And as far as the JBC is concerned, I remember that Gopi Parandam Prabhu was part of the Shastric Advisory Council, so which is supposed to be functioning like a Brahminical council, giving advice to the JBC body. But as you mentioned, but sometimes Prabhupada, if you look at his instructions, he gave dual role to the JBCs. He told them not to, individual zonal secretaries, he told them not to interfere in the zones. Just see that all the spiritual standards are maintained. So it looks like he gave them a Brahminical function to ensure that standards are, and give advice on standards. At the same time, he said that the JBC is the ultimate managerial authority of ISKCON. So there is some element of management involved. But primarily, I think Prabhupada expected that the JBC body would be a Brahminical body. People who, like, for example, he said that Siksha Gurus, like he said, my JBC, they're functioning as Siksha Guru. Once he says that, so he expected them to be like leaders who common devotees can look up to for inspiration, guidance, and things like that. At the same time, naturally, because they're elevated, they also have that ability to organize and whatever is favorable for propagating Krishna consciousness, for maintaining Krishna consciousness. That was that is one of the responsibilities that Prabhupada gave them, to manage the society. He said, at least preserve what I have, don't deteriorate if you cannot expand. So there seems to be some element of, just like we see in the case of King Vena, the Brahmanas. Previous chapters, we saw how the Brahmanas, the primary goal is, primary role is to give advice, but when King Vena went off, so then they killed him. So, under emergencies or under when circumstances make it necessary, then they also take on certain other roles. But their primary role is as Brahmanas. Similarly, I think, from what I've read of what Prabhupada instructed about the GBC, primarily it is it's a body who's supposed to give advice to the members of the society, give guidance. It's primarily it's a Brahminical role. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.